Hey, everyone, and welcome back to the Pisgah Podcast.
We are your hosts. I'm Drew. That is Mangler, and we are coming to you live from Brevard College campus. Mangler, what are some news items that we have this week?
Man, I'd say the first thing that we really need to recognize is that Old Man Winter really decided to show up this week. And our homies on the other side of the mountain in Tennessee, they got a bunch of snow, as did the high country of Western North Carolina. And the temps have rapidly dropped here in Pisgah today. I mean, this morning when I got up to take the dog out, it was like 40 degrees. Then we ran up to Asheville to run some errands, and when we got up there, it was 22 degrees.
Yeah, below freezing temps just means less freeze thaw because it's just frozen.
Well, that's one way of making a frozen lemon slushy with some lemons, if I do say so myself.
As of today, as of the time of recording now, temperatures have been dropping since 10 a.m. And it's 12 hours later right now. We also had a ton of rain prior to this winter showing up, which got Western North Carolina out of its drought state. And so that's a good thing. But if these temps would have shown up with that moisture, we'd still be digging out of the snow piles right now.
Oh, man. No, I kind of like one good snow a season, but that would have definitely been too much. But it is fun seeing all like the Windrock crew multi-sport shredding the snow on their social medias. Titus Nicholson's Instagram, that is a must follow for some wild two-wheeled content.
Yeah, I think that dude has the most fun on inappropriate bikes, pit bikes, Surans, etc. But dude, I don't like winter. I don't like winter weather. I don't like being cold. I don't like having anything to do with it. They can have it for all I care.
Yeah, just saw that clip of Sean Leader legit skiing at Windrock and did the Red Bull drop.
Yes.
So that is cool.
That's rad.
Some of you may be familiar with our downhill race video coverage that we do for Downhill Southeast and some other races. If you're not, you can check out Downhill Southeast's YouTube page or search the Gravity Cooperative on YouTube. We've assembled a pretty dialed crew to cover race replays and some other gravity-focused video content. But with that, we've decided to add on a podcast element to our downhill coverage. But don't worry. If anything, it's driven us to be more scheduled on Pisgah podcast content and a better release frequency. So this will continue on, and we've got a lot of more great content coming your way.
Yeah, it's true. It really kind of has put a fire underneath me to separate some of the content that we've got coming up with the Gravity Cooperative versus some things that I want to cover here in Pisgah Podcast that's more pertinent to that. But we have released our first episode of the Gravity Cooperative's Hot Seat Podcast. It's currently available on Spotify and Apple podcast platforms. The other avenues are in process, but next episode will be dropping on Monday, and we've kind of spread out the responsibilities on all of us to capture audio interviews with those that are fueling the stoke for U.S. Downhill.
Yeah, so you'll be hearing from myself, of course, Drew. We're bringing on Rich Moore and Will Washam as we rotate through episodes of guests that we find interesting doing cool stuff in the downhill scene. Fortunately, we live in a really sick downhill popular region, so it'll be a decent amount of localish inspired content.
Yeah, that's something that we're all really excited about. Throughout our downhill race coverage, we've gotten to know a lot of really awesome people, and it's kind of just getting started. It's pretty new to us, even though we've done it for about 2 years now. As is downhill race season, new teams are being announced a couple times a week. Just today, Nico announced the new addition to his Frameworks racing team, Angel Suarez, who's a veteran and World Cup podium contender. So that's really awesome to add for him, and also he's a great mentor for Asa.
Oh, absolutely. You know, new teams and new races is awesome. The calendar is getting stacked. We've got the Monster Energy Pro Downhill season kicking off their series here at Ride Rock Creek April 4th through 6th. And that's just 2 weeks after the Tennessee National at Windrock, March 21st to 23rd. And we'll be doing the race replay shows for both of those races.
Yeah, and Downhill Southeast kicks off their season the first weekend of March at the Trials Training Center over in Sequatchie, Tennessee. And it's got an awesome schedule. You'll be able to find us all season long.
Yeah. And we've kind of had a busy off season. Things kind of settled down along with the holidays, which kind of allowed us to get caught back up with this show. But we got invited to head down to Guatemala to produce the race replay for the Guatemala Downhill Open at Bike Park Cayala. And man, what a treat that was.
Yeah, it was a super good experience. And I'm glad you invited me to come down to be part of that as well. Cayala, man, it's a new modern development in Guatemala City. And the bike park is situated on a south-facing slope just above that development on a patch of jungle that's kind of, it's situated between some highway sections. It's a really amazing use of that piece of land. And there's about 700 feet of elevation there.
Yeah, and since we are bike riders after all, we're not going to go to a foreign country with good riding and not ride, right?
Yeah, exactly. While we did go to Guatemala for work purposes, we were able to hang out for a few days longer and head down to Antigua for some riding. Carmona Trails, which is right there on the edge of Antigua, had us dialed for a couple of days. Amazing breakfasts. The restaurant there is amazing. Fun jumps. It's a coffee plantation, so the coffee was amazing. And they have shuttles to take you up to two different drop spots for some absolutely amazing downhills.
Yeah, man, we rode some really sick stuff. You know, it's a good mix of bike park style flow trails and some raw and natural stuff, from some legit very steep stuff to, you know, some just right. It was a good mix of just all kinds of good riding.
Exactly, yeah. And Carmona Trails will be hosting their Downhill de Volcan on February 9th through 10th. And it looks like some pretty big names are going to be showing up. And we've ridden some of the track, and it's really sick, so we can't wait to see who throws it down for that race.
Dude, Rob Warner's going to be there to MC the race? That's crazy.
Yeah, they're totally getting after it down there. I think that Central America is going to be the next frontier for gravity racing, and Guatemala is ready to lead that charge.
Dude, absolutely. Between Guatemala and Costa Rica, there's a lot of good stuff going on.
Yep.
Coming back to our local scene here, you know, some new stuff's been popping up. The guys over at Elevated Trails have got Chestnut Mountain rolling pretty good. Unfortunately, weather's been giving them a hard time with freeze thaw and such. So if you're looking to ride out there, check the Chestnut Mountain Instagram. They pin a post if they are open or not. So it's really easy to find out, so you don't like drive over there and the gate's closed. But the Elevated crew have broken ground on a new bike park in South Carolina, and it's not too far from the Charlotte Metro zone. It's called Rattlesnake Bike Park. I did inquire to see if there would be rattlesnakes, and I was told that no rattlesnakes. So that's a bummer. Probably safer. And I know the Low Country crew will be really psyched on this.
Yeah, dude, I can't wait to check that spot out. It's like almost every year we have a new bike park popping up. And we've heard some rumors on some others closer up here in the Pisgah Zone coming online here pretty soon in the near future as well.
Yeah, it's been awesome to have more riding options for different types of riding here in this area. I love some jank, and I love jumps, and we're just starting to get a good mixture built up of some more jumpy stuff to mix in with that Pisgah jank, so yeah.
Yeah, and not to jump too far ahead, because it is a larger podcast episode that we have in the works, but the Rock Solid crew has begun work on the Butter Gap project. No mention of any closures yet on the current butter, so if you're looking to spread some butter on the trail as it is, don't wait around.
Yeah. I guess we got a lot of audio to start digging through and a bit more to capture on that project, huh?
Yeah, we can add it to the growing list, but I have seen your Excel spreadsheet to-do list, and it's not getting any shorter.
No, it is not, but let's move on to the show.
Absolutely. And this week, we've got Matt Zuniga from Brevard College Cycling Team on the show to fill us in on how these college kids get it done at the races these days.
All right, we're here with Matt from the Brevard Cycling Team. Matt, you are rounding out your senior year. Kind of introduce us to you and kind of what you're up to.
Yeah, so I'm Matt. I'm a senior on the Brevard Cycling Team, majoring in business and organizational leadership with a minor in wilderness leadership, experiential education. Basically, what that goes down to is I'm here at school to ride bikes, have fun, and get a degree along the process. So.
Ride bikes and have fun. That's kind of a balance that most of us adults are still trying to achieve. So
yeah.
Hopefully you're on a good path.
Yeah, it's a struggle at times, balancing school, of course, because that's my first priority. But
That's good to hear. Your studies are important. Like Memal said, just keep those grades up, honey. Yep. So you're with the Brevard cycling team. Kind of what are your duties with there?
Yeah, so I mostly race gravity. So we've got downhill, slalom, short track, and cross-country races during the collegiate mountain bike season. I have done all of them in the past. It's a lot of work, both physically and mentally. So I've taken a step back in the last couple of years and just focused on the gravity stuff, which I enjoy a lot more. In addition to that, I'm also the team mechanic. So helping fix bikes when they break during the conference series race weekends. But my biggest challenge and duty is to keep all the bikes running for the national championship events every year.
Nice. And talk to me about your mechanicking experience. You have a background in that?
Yeah, for sure. Day I turned 14, I got a job in a bike shop back home in Pennsylvania. And ever since then, I've been hooked on bikes, been racing since I was 12. It was part of the inaugural season for the Pennsylvania NICA series. Founded my high school's team, and from there on, just kind of made bikes my life. Worked all throughout high school at a shop, and wanted to progress into the industry. And being here at school, I knew I wanted to do something more involved with that. So thankfully, I've gotten a couple opportunities to wrench and work at a couple big races, including national championships for collegiate and the past 2 years at the Snowshoe UCI Mountain Bike World Cup.
Nice. Who are you wrenching for there?
I did some work for actually Brevard alumni, Tyler Orschel. I'm sure most people know his name. And a couple of his buddies had a team for a few years, supported by some local Canadian organizations, but they are always in need of some mechanical support at races here in the U.S. because their team was mostly based in Europe. So I came in and prepped the bikes before the race weekend, made sure everything was running smooth after practice. Had some challenges with some JB Weld in 2022, but we made it through. And after some late nights, we were able to keep the bikes together for actually a really good top 35 place finish, I believe.
Okay.
So,
I mean, if JB Weld is involved and you're getting a top 35.
Yeah, it was a stressful weekend for sure.
Kudos to you on that one. What was your shop in Pennsylvania?
I worked for a few different ones, just local shops, but I most recently worked for Trek Westchester. Awesome crew there. Actually, one of my coworkers there is racing with King University in Bristol, Tennessee now. So get to see him at some races.
Do some little head-to-head action.
Yeah, he's a lot faster than me uphill for sure, but I can hold him back on the downhills still.
Nice. From my experience with a lot of collegiate athlete racing and stuff, there's definitely some like heavy run what you're brung vibes.
Oh, yeah.
So how do you try kind of balance doing like wanting to do like the best mechanic, best setup job you can with college kids just wanting to like grab the bike and go?
It is definitely a challenge. Before every big race weekend, so specifically national champs, I go through every single racer's bike. And that's a little bit easier because we only have a few racers. But this year I had to go through 25 bikes before racing even started. So my job starts 2 or 3 weeks out. A lot of stuff with the team this year, they've actually kept really good care of their bikes, which is different from what it used to be. But thankfully, they have their own support outside of collegiate racing that helps them with that. And there's certainly some moments where I've had to use some duct tape, zip ties, and JB Weld. This year, actually, Cameron Mader, the U.S. Collegiate Downhill National Champion, had some incidents before the race where his pedal spindle stripped, and we had to very quickly and haphazardly throw a set of cranks on his bike, and turns out nobody had a Shimano standard crank set around, so I actually had to pull the cranks off my dirt jumper that I had in the trailer, bodge them with some spacers, and made them fit because they were different, or the newer standards. So
that's always, I mean, that's something good to get experience doing
absolutely
in those scenarios. It's like, all right, we got to go. We got to get this bike together. What do we have to make it work? So good problem solving right there. Yeah. That's preparing you for the real world.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was fun. It was stressful.
What's your workshop setup like over at Brevard College? Like, you got a pretty dialed setup?
Most of the weekends, thankfully, this year we have a new trailer. So I have my own dedicated little bench there. Clean out some of the bikes from where they are hanging up during transit and set my stand up there and have a little workspace. But when we're here at home in Brevard, it's pretty much my dorm room.
Nice.
A little 10x15 jail cell with way too many bikes in it.
So is a dorm room usually meant to share with someone? And because because you're the mechanic, you get your own full dorm room.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I wish that was the case, but I've had to, my roommates and I have had to put about 12 bikes in there at one point, just for whatever reason we had them in there, but
I'm sure there was some creative arrangement there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So during the, let's say, the off season, what kind of goes on with the cycling team? Like, how are you guys getting prepped and stuff like that? Because I guess that would be like right now, but unless you guys have, do you have anybody on a cross team?
Yeah, we do. We have quite a few people that are racing cross. We did take a little bit of time off between mountain bike champs and starting our cross season. Definitely a smaller crowd than mountain bikes, but as we ramp up towards the North Carolina Grand Prix in Hendersonville in a few weeks, we'll definitely have, I'd say, a good majority of the team out there racing and having fun.
Nice. So what's your kind of off season like? Is that just kind of hang out and do some leisurely riding, or are you doing a bunch of prep, or how's that?
It's pretty informal. We do have a few people on the team that are very steady with their training all throughout the year. They have personal trainers that assign them workouts and stuff like that, but they're also the ones who are racing World Cups consistently.
Yeah.
They also just happen to be mostly Canadians. So for the Gravity guys, we'll get in the gym every few days or so, but a lot of the off season is spent just doing big rides from campus, going out, getting lost in the woods, and just enjoying where we are here in Brevard. Nice.
What's the draw with the Canadians coming to Brevard College?
Well, bringing them back to old Tyler Orschel, I think he was our first Canadian that came down, spent a lot of time down here training during the winter because it's already been snowing up there quite a bit. So being able to ride consistently throughout the year and not having to ride inside is a big draw for the area.
Yeah.
And we see a lot of that with people all throughout the world. Mm-hmm. So after Tyler Orschel, we had Tyler Clark come on down and join us. And he has a whole posse of people from Ontario that he's met and his bike shop supports in racing who have also joined us down here. And then
Shell Peugeot comes down.
Shelly's down here every once in a while. We always get to say hi and try to get a ride in when she is on the bike. So
When
she's on the bike. Yeah.
Bless her heart.
Yeah. Oh, Shelly.
We got to keep her healthy.
Yeah.
So yeah, sounds Brevard has had like a pretty good name for itself for like consistently many years now. What keeps the cycling team there at such a good level?
I think just having fun and being a good team together. Other teams in the collegiate conference are definitely stacked with very competitive riders from, again, all throughout the world. But I think we just enjoy being within each other's company and having some friendly rivalry to get us all getting faster and fitter and taking chances. So it definitely helps us out on the race course.
I'm thinking about a bunch of the collegiate schools that I usually see at top of the ranks. You know, we got App State, Warren Wilson, you guys, Lenoir Ryan, bunch of good schools. But I think about where those schools are and their relativeness, closeness to like good riding opportunities. Sure, App State's got Rocky Knob and, you know, short distance away, like Wilson Creek side of Pisgah. Mm. And then some of the other schools like are close to good riding areas, but a lot of them you don't just ride from campus.
Right.
to the forest mm-hmm. or to a good trail network. You can for sure, but you've got a good bit of ways to get to those spots. How do you think that plays into effect?
Oh, it definitely does. We utilize Pisgah a lot.
Yeah.
Definitely the technical factor of the trails, how hard or easy they are to get to plays a factor, and just being so close, we hardly ever drive to go ride, whether it's Pisgah, DuPont, gravel, all throughout the region. And I don't remember a ride going on in the past month or so that I have driven to. So
you've probably driven to Rock Creek though, so
I have, but
got you on that one.
I'm not one of those people that likes to suffer for multiple hours at a time on riding a mountain bike on the road. So driving that road over there is pretty fun too. So
yeah. What's for, you know, an after class ride or a midweek training ride, kind of what does that look like for someone on the gravity team?
For the gravity team, we'll go out and do lots of Bennett Gap laps. I don't know who has the KOM on that on Strava now. That we care. We're just out there having fun most of the time, but we'll ride that. After the middle black reroute, we have been doing a lot of upper black as well into that. So doing some longer descents there. And every year we'll do a pilot from campus, which ends up being 45 miles.
That's a saucy one.
Yeah. I haven't personally been on one yet. I'm sure I'll get roped into it soon, but
that's almost like a rite of passage.
Yeah, it's going to happen. I need to.
That's kind of like the after class ride or whatever. But like when you think of like a good Pisgah, like fun route, what comes to mind?
Ooh, I've done countless lower black laps.
I mean, you can't go wrong.
Yeah. It's so good.
Yeah.
I've recently rediscovered upper Sycamore. So I'll usually do a lower Sycamore, upper Sycamore, or a lower black upper Sycamore, because they're just so good.
Yeah.
And it's definitely not as well known as lower Sycamore, so it doesn't get a ton of traffic. And it's always changing too with the leaves and all those down trees that are just kind of hanging on by a thread on some of those corners.
Yeah, that's true.
So
one thing that I try to do with riding the forest is I try to mix things up and do like some weird routes a lot, because I don't want things to get like oversaturated or just like, you know. And also when you get complacent on stuff is when you make mistakes.
Absolutely.
So, you know, I'll climb lower Sycamore and up Stairns to get to lower black, just do some dumb stuff like that that most people probably wouldn't want to do, but it keeps you sharp.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, that's cool to kind of hear the college kids version of kind of how they like to do Pisgah. Are you guys doing much bracken stuff?
We do occasionally. Right now it's really leafed out and kind of sketchy. So
that makes it even better.
But I'll usually go up there in the spring when the leaves are off the trails and I can see where the corner is.
Yeah.
Cause
I guess those corners probably can get a little dicey with some extra lack of grip.
Yeah, I always go way too fast into them and forget where I am, and the corner's right there. I was like, oh, I'm supposed to turn.
Right on. One question that me and Drew have kind of went back and forth on, we see the benefits of both sides, but let's take someone like Tyler Urschel. Mm-hmm. Like, kid was a ripper when he came to Brevard College. So what is it for him, other than obviously an education, what drives him to want to go with a collegiate team rather than go to like a development team?
Yeah, it's honestly, I've experienced this with him as just being a mechanic and working with him in the past. It's hard to get on a Devo team unless you have an incredible sum of money to be able to go travel and get results before that.
Yeah.
And here in the US, most of the World Cups are overseas.
In Europe.
So, in Europe. Specifically. So getting an education here and being able to race and do that before devoting all your time.
Because it's a big time commitment.
It absolutely is.
Yeah.
It's a big draw, and being able to ride all year long here just enhances your training. Yeah. So when you're going to those Devo teams, when you're going to approach sponsors and stuff like that, you have that pre-advantage. I've seen a lot of people around me specifically use that as a stepping stone to working in the industry, racing for high level teams, getting their foot in the door, really. And there's so many people that have grown up and come through collegiate cycling all across the country that are in those positions and are really willing to help out other people that are up and coming through the program right now.
Yeah. And I guess like if it's a tough call for a 17, 18 year old that's mm-hmm. making the decision. Okay.
Absolutely.
Do I go to school and get my education now? Or do I just like throw my life into full cycling right. mode and then come back to school later?
Mm-hmm.
So I can see that being a pretty hard decision to make, especially with like barely an adult mind.
Right. Yeah. When I started thinking about racing bikes in college, I was a sophomore or junior in high school. Actually, Phil Metz went to Lees McRae, and I used to watch his YouTube channel when I was a little shredder. And he taught me way more than I would have ever learned just by myself. So seeing him and his video that he put out on Lees McRae really kind of got that bug in me and kind of led me to where I was looking at riding in school because I had no idea what I wanted to do coming through high school, and found Brevard through a friend that I raced Nike with, and she told me, come check out Brevard College, and here I am today. So
nice. So you're a product of it.
Oh yeah.
Academic wise, obviously when you're a student athlete, the education side is very heavy, very important, comes first. So is there like an education direction that a lot of the students on the cycling team are taking, or is it just kind of across the board?
It's a good mix. We do have a lot of business majors on the team. Exercise science is another big one, and environmental science.
Okay.
They're the three biggest programs that we have at the school currently, other than the art and music.
Mm-hmm.
We have a few people involved with that, but it is very heavily that business and science focused. And thankfully, the professors that teach at the college are very much fans of the cycling team. So
it's kind of hard to like not to live here and not be active in some sort of outdoor recreation.
Absolutely.
Thing. So you're probably seeing professors and stuff when you're out riding.
Yeah. We have a few professors that I see on the regular out. Mm-hmm. A few of them are customers at my bike shop as well. So
that's cool. That's real cool. Any professors give you a run for your money on the bike?
Not me personally, but Dr. Kev, I'm way too slow. Cannot keep up with him.
Okay.
He's a ripper. I think he rides a fat bike most of the time, so he's already used to pushing that big thing up hills, and he'll smoke me on any climb from Pisgah for sure.
That's so good to hear that like you show up in class and your teacher's like, yo, saw your Strava time yesterday.
Yeah.
I got you by like 2 minutes. What's up?
Yeah. 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 I haven't had him in any classes yet, but he will say hi on campus every once in a while. So.
Nice. Cool. It seems like a lot of cycling majors, what seems like a lot of majors that cycling student athletes go after are things that kind of parallel the cycling industry.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the people that have graduated ahead of you, where are you kind of seeing them pointing their careers at?
Lots of coaching.
Okay.
We have some Tyler Orschel are both certified coaches right now. Ryan Johnson is doing his own coaching, graduated a couple of years ago. And our assistant coach, Tyler Miranda, is actually doing his master's in health and human performance at Brevard College right now. So we got him to stick around for a few more years at least to follow in his brother-in-law's footsteps of being the dreadhead assistant coach.
Nice. For high school students that are looking at options for their future, for college, and looking, definitely something they want to look at is like, how good is the cycling team? What's the scene like? And then obviously it's tough to pitch to a kid who's looking at schools because, I mean, when I was 17, 18 years old, all I really cared about is like, what school has the best bike riding around it? And
yeah.
I mean, I hate to say it, but my college decision was based on where there was good BMX riding.
Right.
I had two schools that offered me like similar scholarships. Mm-hmm. One was up in the mountains, didn't have a BMX scene. The other had a pretty decent BMX scene. So I went where the BMX scene was.
Right.
My life definitely would have taken two different paths. I'm not upset with my decisions. I'm pretty happy with them.
Yeah.
But it's something to think about. And, you know, as a student athlete looking at those options, like, how do you talk to kids that are looking at those.
Yeah. I actually just met with some people yesterday. They just randomly came into the bike shop and were like, oh yeah, we toured Brevard College. And I was like, oh, awesome. What do you guys think? And they're like, oh, we liked it a lot. These other schools we're looking at. And I was like, I have experience with my friends from growing up in high school, looking at these different schools and loving them. And for me, it was, I really wanted to look for somewhere where I felt like I would fit in the entire year, because mm-hmm. the cycling season is so short. It runs from the end of August to the first week of October for Lucky, depending on weather and how many races are scheduled. So I really wanted to look at where I would fit in and what was around for the rest of the year. What was going on during the winter when the riding wasn't as good, or it was raining, snowing, and if that ever happens again. So Brevard was close enough to Asheville and Hendersonville and had stuff going on, whereas some of these other schools were 45 minutes from the nearest bigger town, or didn't even have a stoplight in them at all. So Brevard was definitely like that perfect mix of just enough going on, but it's still rural enough that I didn't feel like I was in a city.
Yeah. Okay. You're from like outside of Philly area?
Yeah. Yeah. About 45 minutes outside of Philly. So it's pretty busy.
It's pretty busy out there. And so it's coming down here definitely a lot quieter.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I was little, I'd go up to the Pocono Mountains a lot in the northeast part of the state, and the western part of the state as well. There were just mountains and mountains. And I was like, I knew I wanted to be there for college, but there were no cycling programs. So
interesting.
Just kind of luck of the draw that there's a bunch of programs here in the Southeast, and we're all super competitive and super close with all the other teams.
Yeah. What schools do you think you guys kind of jive best with?
Ooh, Warren Wilson are definitely some good friends.
Nice.
We're about 45 minutes away from them, so we'll meet in Bent Creek and go ride during the winter. We've got a couple big loops up there that we'll do and just make a day out of it. And I have friends that go to Lees McRae up in Banner Elk, so I'll go visit them every once in a while and we'll go ride their trails. They'll come down here more often than not, and we'll go ride Rock Creek or go shuttle Bennett, or I'll take them out and we'll try to spin their legs off, but normally they keep up pretty well.
So. Nice. Warren Wilson, shout out Monty. He's a rad dude.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Monty's awesome.
Yep.
Got to know him pretty well this year, and we're good friends now.
Cool. Right on. Yeah, it was cool to see him on that Patagonia project, and I worked on that a little bit.
Sweet.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Okay, so those are some schools that you're kind of homies with. Mm-hmm. Who's your rival?
Lees McRae.
Lees McRae's your rival.
Oh, yeah.
But they're still homies, though, right?
Oh, absolutely. We heckle them. They heckle us. I grew up racing and started a little grassroots team with Jack Gilbert. He's also a senior on the Lees McRae team. So we've been riding together since we were 12 or 13 years old, and grew up very close to each other. Definitely, he's a little faster than me, but I try to get as close to him during races as I can, and we'll always say hi and have fun and do a bunch of rides together.
That's great. When it comes to trying to have a good balance, for us adults, we look at it as a work-life balance, right? But for college kids, it's, you know, college life bike balance. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have anyone that kind of helps you or coaches you along with some of those things?
Yeah, definitely Coach Brad and our assistant coach Tyler, Miranda. They help us out a bunch. If we're ever stressed, their phone is always on them. We can mm-hmm. text them, call them. I think I text Brad about something every other day, nice. Honestly. And their main focus is to have us do well in school, mm-hmm. but also excel on the race course. So if they can do anything to help us figure out that balance, they're always right there for us.
Nice. That's good to have, because, you know, having someone kind of give you some guidance mm-hmm. on making good decisions and how to balance those things
right.
going into, you know, the quote real world.
Right.
is definitely a good help.
Yeah.
So you're a senior now.
Yeah.
And that means 4 years ago when you started, was it COVID year?
It was.
So you're the first graduating class of COVID year.
Yeah, post-COVID.
Yeah. So how was that?
It was tough.
Yeah.
Lots of time out in the woods on our bikes, mm-hmm. which was cool.
I mean, that if there was a benefit from all that, like, Dude, I think I rode like 90 some days straight. It was amazing.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So at Brevard, we have this thing called Creek Week, which is the first year orientation, kind of get to know people in your class, professors, your advisors, stuff like that. And that's usually 3 to 5 days before upperclassmen move in August. And my year, we had 9 freshmen start on the team. We were all in one hallway in the dorm room, kind of had our own little corner to it for COVID reasons. And we rode every single day for a week straight. It was great. I had never ridden 7 days in a row before. I think we rode 8, honestly. And I was so tired every night, but so ready to get up in the next morning and just go ride and do something.
Yeah.
So
you mentioned off mic before we started that senior year of high school was that COVID year. And so you had a weird experience from that. And how did you do mentally with how to go from home life to this new life in this weird pandemic thing we're going through?
It was tough, honestly. Like I was pretty much locked away for the good part of like 3 months, beginning of COVID. My area was hit pretty hard with it outside of Philly. But as summer and everything opened up a little bit, I was able to go to bike parks, riding single person on the lift, mask on in the lift line, stuff like that. And that really helped me deal with it. But coming to school was tough because I didn't really have an end to my high school. So it was just like high school, then college.
Yeah.
And there was like kind of this weird in between. I don't know how much it would have been different if it was normal, but kind of just lived it one day at a time. And now we're here 4 years later, and it felt like yesterday.
It's crazy. You mentioned like riding some bike parks and stuff back home. What are your, some of your go-to ride spots?
Ooh. So my closest bike park was Blue Mountain in Pennsylvania. They've had a bunch of ESC races there for years now. I would do some of those, but my favorite was Mountain Creek.
Oh, Mountain Creek.
I love it.
Dominion laps.
I miss it. Dominion. Honestly, my favorite was Greenhorn, trying to go as fast as you could and not breaking in sections.
Ooh, yeah. Okay.
I blew up a shock in 3 runs on that one. But
I can see that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Dominion laps there.
So good.
When you get to that middle section that you can pedal lap on those like 3 or 4 big doubles.
Yep.
Oof.
So good.
I vibe on that real hard.
Yeah.
When we were there for Downhill Southeast this past year, like me and the film crew, like we definitely probably rode 10 too many laps than we should have for like getting the video done.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But it's always worth it. Some of the best dirt jumps at a bike park.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say like in the country. Like,
yeah.
I would rather ride Dominion jump laps over A-Line.
I haven't had the chance to ride Whistler yet, but I'll come back and let you know how that is.
A-Line's something special, without a doubt, because it's real long and the jumps are real awesome. But growing up riding BMX, there's a big difference between like bike park jumps.
Oh, yeah.
And then the way that...
the local kids build the jumps that are really sketchy.
There's a combo of that. Like, I like a good lippy jump and... the build team at Mountain Creek is
great.
They're
so good. They're awesome people.
Dude, shout out to George Ryan and that crew because they know how to build good jumps. Yeah.
George, if you listen to this, please come down in Southeast and build some jumps.
Dude, I'll send him a text later and just be like, dude, you should come down and build some jumps down here. And I'll say like, Nico said you should come build some jumps. And then I'll tell Nico after George agrees to do it, like, yo, George is coming down to build some jumps. just to see what happens.
Yeah. My riding style isn't really like super focused on jumping. I love the raw tech, just slow New England jank, as we call it up north.
Dude, you're talking to me, man.
Oh, I love it.
I love jumps, but I love jank.
Oh, yeah.
I love the slow jank. Like the Northeast New England stuff is good. And I feel like Pisgah's got a good amount of it, but they're still just like missing. There's like a little thing missing, and I can't exactly pinpoint it.
Dude, it's the soft dirt.
Soft dirt. Yep.
Soft dirt, more roots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're always wet.
Yep. Mm-hmm. What's some of your favorite Northeast jank?
There's some good stuff at a place in Reading, Pennsylvania called Mount Penn.
Mount Penn? Okay. I've heard good things about Michelle.
That's actually where Nico grew up riding.
Okay. Why has he never told us this?
Dude.
He's keeping secrets.
Yeah. Shh. Maybe I shouldn't have said that. But yeah, I've grew up riding that area, ridden with his brother,
Colin
a few times. Mm-hmm. And that area's great. Michaud. Oh, if I could tell you where this trail was, I have to kill you, but it was amazing.
Okay. See, I've driven past Michaud like way too many times.
So good.
And it's been high on my list. And it was actually Amelia Capuano sent me a bunch of photos and videos.
Yeah.
She I think she knows where some spots are.
Yeah.
And so
I know some good stuff.
I need to get up there and I need to take that exit off I-81 next time I'm driving north.
Yeah. So it was the year before COVID, 2019. I helped run a camp for the Pennsylvania NECA series.
Okay.
For the Teen Trail Corps. It's a kind of like a trail stewardship ambassadorship program.
Okay.
For high school students that are involved with NECA. And it was in Michaud State Forest.
Sick.
At the Penn State Mount Alto campus. And we took the kids on a ride, had no clue where we were going, looked at a map the night before, like, oh, there looks to be some trails there. Let's go check it out.
Yeah.
And ended up being like an 18-mile gravel ride on enduro bikes. But we got to the top of the ridge and there's one descent that we just kind of found. I have no idea if it was legal or not, or if it was on the map, just kind of was following one of the other counselors blind. And it was the best descent I've ever ridden. Super loamy, super steep, bunch of rocks. It's great.
Nice.
And we ended up in this bog and had to like hike a bike out, but it was so worth it.
That's definitely a Northeast thing. Like you're going to ride some sweet rock tech and you're going to have a fun descent, but you're going to end up in a bog and probably have to like hike your bike out of it.
It's so worth it though.
Yeah.
So good.
Now, I did hear some whispers that a lot of you guys from the Brevard cycling team were somewhat responsible for a lot of the enduro trails that have been cut in over at Rock Creek.
Yeah.
Talk to us a little bit about that, because we've not really had anyone speak to us about that. We just know that they were part of the race course and stuff.
I don't know how much I can tell you.
Okay.
Because there's still stuff under wraps, but the Brevard team was contacted by Nico to build the first stage.
Okay.
Ended up not being a stage in the race.
Because it was too gnarly?
Because it was too gnarly.
Yes.
Yeah. There's some stuff out there. I don't think it exists anymore. But if you find it, good luck, because most of us can't get down it without crashing or walking.
Okay.
And we've got some incredibly talented riders on the team, and they struggle with it. So
that's good to hear.
Yeah. Apparently, USAC came in, saw it, and they were like, no, we're not riding this. No way.
I love it. That's so good.
Yeah. Shout out to Nico for letting us have free rein and coming up on us one day. He's like, oh, this is sick.
Nice. So, that's good. That's good. Yeah. I had heard that you guys had built some stuff that was a little bit over USAC's head, and they were like,
Yeah.
Are you guys still working on some more stuff out there?
We're hoping to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know they're wanting to have a bunch more races out there, and I would love the opportunity to go and just help build and maintain, because I love doing that. I love doing trail work and just putting my little touch on things.
Nice. Has the Brevard cycling team done any trail work stuff with Pisgah Area Sorba?
Yeah. Actually, just this week, we did a trail work day on Lower Black with Austin from Cognitive.
Nice.
And another Sorba guy. We went out there on a Monday afternoon and cleared a bunch of drains that were clogged full of leaves.
Oh, I imagine so.
Bunch of silt runoff and made it rideable again. So
nice.
Can actually see the trail in most spots now.
Okay, cool. I may try to get out for a Lower Black lap later.
Yeah.
Just depends on my schedule and stuff. Kind of like, how does the team operate in like a funding way?
Yeah, so the Brevard College Cycling Team, even though it seems like we're a massive, big program competing with teams from Colorado, California, whatnot, we're actually really small. There's 32 people on the team, including myself, and two coaches. That's it. We have a very small budget from the school every year because we're not an NCAA-affiliated team.
That's true, yeah.
We're technically a club sport, but race at the varsity level. And a lot of our... or the majority of our funding every year comes from private donors.
Okay.
And they help us immensely. So this past spring, we had the opportunity to purchase a new team trailer, because ours was getting tiny with 32 people on the team.
We'd
have to tow a second one just to...
Like a second support trailer.
Second support trailer.
Does it attach to the other trailer?
I wish. That would have been cool. This is the,
I don't think that's legal in North Carolina, but anyway.
Who knows?
Yeah.
It's North Carolina.
And you're college kids.
Yeah, exactly. So our old team trailer actually was bought by Warren Wilson, so they're getting use out of it now right for on. Their team. And we were able to, through a bunch of private donors and a fundraising campaign that we did this spring, fund a new bigger team trailer. That was its first big outing was Nats.
So right on.
It's pretty rad. It's huge, but still small in some way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So other than getting some support from private donors, do you guys have any like team sponsors and stuff?
Yeah, for sure. So other than Earth Mountain bike shop here in town, we do all of our apparel through Cognitive MTB.
Nice. Austin's rad, dude.
Yeah. Just so happens I am an ambassador for Cognitive and kind of helped form that relationship. 2021, I came on board as an ambassador and one of the Monday night ride leaders.
Nice.
With them and have been doing some product testing and development with them. Just so happens I worked on the Cognitive pants with you.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was one of the other test riders for that.
Nice. Yeah, man, those pants have changed my life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Having really long legs and having pants that cover those long legs is really great.
I'm on the opposite end of the spectrum. I've got some pretty big legs with very short
That's what's needed and when you're doing product testing.
We've got everything in between with those.
So it sounds like we met in the middle.
Yeah.
You got your short, thick legs, and I got my long, skinny ones.
Yeah, there you go. But yeah, Austin was gracious enough to help us out with the team this past two seasons. And I've also worked with him on our Gravity jersey, which is not in production for retail sale as of right now. It's a very special blend of materials that is pretty stretchy on the arms, but loose on the torso.
Okay.
To fit some body armor underneath, but still look nice and lean.
Right on.
So keep an eye out for that in the future.
Cool. It's nice to have those special things just for a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, we got that good.
Yeah.
You guys might get it later, but...
Who knows?
Yeah. Also, just shout out to Austin and the crew over at Cognitive. Dude does a lot for not just our region, but a bunch of other regions around the country where they have ambassadors at and stuff. Mm-hmm. So it's cool to see him and that company supporting, you know, the Brevard College team.
Yeah. Yeah. Thankfully, Austin's been a great help with the team. He's always on board with all of my weird ideas.
Nice.
I'll text him at midnight on a Tuesday. Hey, man, what do you think about this? He's like, oh, let's do it.
Right then or does he reply in the morning?
It depends.
Yeah. Does the Brevard cycling team get discounts at the Cognitive Brew House?
Unfortunately, no. They're two separate entities, but we...
That's a good excuse for Austin to give to...
Yeah.
And also, with him being over in... Etowah Horseshoe area, it's not exactly easy to swoop in and scoop up a bunch of smoothies.
Right. Thankfully.
Thankfully, yes. Yeah.
My wallet would be a lot thinner than it already is if the brew house was any closer.
Yep. What kind of fundraising things do you guys do throughout the year?
Yeah. So every year we do a bike wash for the Pisgah Stage Race via Earth Mountain. So we've done that in the past. It's a relatively small fundraiser, but it definitely helps us out just getting our name kind of out there, and we've made some connections. But the biggest thing is alumni and other kind of friends of friends in the area.
Okay, cool. Well, right on. Well, it's good to hear that there's some good financial backing, but of course you could always use more.
Yeah, we definitely struggle every year, so we're only able to do mountain bike and cross season because our budget is pretty small. If we had some more donors and sponsors, we'd be able to do the gravel and the road series in the spring. Yeah. But unfortunately, the past few years, since our team is so big now and very heavily mountain bike focused, we've only been able to really do that.
Okay. Do you have a decent amount of kids in the team that would that are into doing gravel? And
road? We've got some really good nationally ranked gravel athletes that find some fun in riding 200 miles in a single go. I'm like, you guys are crazy. Have fun with that. Yeah. I'll be in the pits cheering you on.
Yep, exactly.
But yeah, we've got a good few people that are wanting to race gravel, but we're not really able to support them as of right now.
Well, Matt, what's the best way for people to kind of follow along what Brevard Cycling's doing?
Yeah, so definitely on Instagram, at Brevard College Cycling.
Easy enough.
Definitely the best way to go about it.
Who has the keys to that account?
I think our assistant coach, Tyler.
Okay.
Tyler does, yeah.
Does he share? Do you guys get like Team Wednesdays to post freely on the account, or does he kind of protect it?
I'll talk about that with him, but he's a little protective of that right now.
Rightfully so.
Yeah.
Well, sweet. Well, Matt, thanks for coming by, chatting with me for a little bit. I'm excited about the future Brevard Cycling team. And, you know, you guys had a really good showing at Nats.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good showing for things to come, especially on the gravity side of things. And I think we'll have to talk to Downhill Southeast about how we can get you guys better involved in that.
For sure.
Because that's a good race series that I think we would like to see more collegiate teams represented at.
Yeah. If there's a collegiate cat, I'll come out and do it.
All right. Cool. Matt, thanks a bunch.
Thanks, man.
Well, cool, man. See you on the trail.
Yeah, see ya.
Brevard College is quite the decade of producing pro racers in so many disciplines. I'm proud to see that they're keeping the program one that racers want to be a part of. This whole region has collegiate cycling programs that are proficient on the national level, and we hope to bring interviews with more of them in the coming year, especially since Collegiate Mountain Bike Nationals will be hosted at Ride Rock Creek again for 2024.
Yeah, man, it seems like Western North Carolina and just this area is a hotbed for collegiate cycling. So, you know, between all the schools scattered up and down the Appalachians, you know, we've got a lot of great talent here.
And it's generational too. The coaches for a lot of these programs were students in some of these programs. So it just keeps giving and it keeps giving and it keeps giving. But what's the weather forecast looking like?
Oh man, let's see here. On our 10-day, obviously it's really cold right now, and it's going to be real cold for a couple more days. Looking at our 10-day forecast here, pretty much rounding off the week into the weekend, it's going to be a lot of really chilly lows. Surprisingly, Thursday is going to be one of our warmer days. But going back into the weekend, especially Saturday, high of 21 and a low of 10. Sunday warms back up by essentially doubling those temperatures, which is nice. So if we always talk about with freestyle getting out early to ride those frozen trails where, pretty much you can just ride those any time of the day right now because everything's just going to be frozen. Looking at next week, we're getting a big warm up and a lot of moisture's moving in. So I'm going to try to ride Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, maybe Thursday. But I'm going to try to get some rotting in because looking at a longer range forecast has us about a week solid of rain. So it's looking like where we're at. So hopefully you got your good cold weather gear. Imagine, Drew, you will not be riding this weekend.
No, I. If it's below 45, I'm out. I can't front.
Yeah, I'm gonna brave some cold temps. I just feel like I need to get it done.
Well, I'm proud of you.
That is a wrap on this week's episode. And as always, you can find us on social media. Just search Pisgah Podcast. We've got the web store going on with shirts, fresh bottles, koozies, and you can check that out at pisgahpodcast.bigcartel.com.
And if you dropped out of college to ride bikes rather than to go to college to ride bikes, like I did, then click subscribe. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Back episodes can be found there, here, or on Spotify and or your favorite podcatcher. Also, go ahead and subscribe to the Gravity Cooperative podcast. Buy some Pisgah podcast merch to support the show. And, man, you're really going to get out there and ride in sub-freezing, huh?
Yeah, might as well. I mean, I invest in some decent cold weather gear, so might as well put it in yours.
Like feeling my toes.
You know what they say, Drew? Never too hot or too cold. It's just improper dress.
That's true.